Hallelujah. I can't see, I guess I can see a clock. Is it 12 o'clock already? What time do we finish? Ish. I know some of you do things on the ish time scale, so it doesn't really matter, does it? I don't want to be too long today. We've experienced the presence of God. I just want to try and bring that together just briefly. You know, we were looking the last few weeks since Pentecost Sunday, and just looking at what the early church did in those days to get to that place where we read that many signs and wonders, or many wonders and signs, were done through the apostles. You know, so there was clearly this move of God taking place in the days of the early church. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the Bible that we have. They didn't have the word that we have. They didn't have all the structure that we have. Because they were doing it live, as it were, it was just going for it there. But we see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, where it says, "And they devoted themselves," or they remained steadfast, they committed themselves to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so, on the back of that, we see that the church grew quite dramatically. You know, on that first day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that sermon and the message which he preached, the gospel, and remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The people's lives were changed. They said, "We were cut to the heart." And so they were cut to the heart. The Holy Spirit did a work in them as God spoke through Peter on that day. And they said, "What must we do?" And Peter said to them, what you have to do is repent from this perverse generation and give your life to Jesus. Become born again. And of course, they did that, and the church grew. The Bible says about 5,000 people, you know, were added to the church that day. And they were baptized. And this whole, the church was birthed in such a powerful way. And then in verse 42, it talks about how they continued steadfastly, or they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And so there was this commitment to do something which caused them to get to this place. On the back of them doing that, we see that the church grew, and it grew, and it grew, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And how many of you would like to live in those days when many wonders and signs are being done in and around you, that, you know, you see the power of God? We can operate. We are able to do so much with our natural ability in these days, I believe. And I know we've got so many medical people in the house here this morning. And I spoke to a couple of you girls already this day, and I hope you've been fixing up a few people this week. And yeah, you've been fixing up some people. You know, we've got GPs, we've got doctors who work in emergency situations, and are so capable. And we have such ability, and we can do quite a lot with the wonders of medical science. But I believe there are times when we need to be able to believe and see limbs grow, eyes opened. Yes. I walked down a street close to our home this morning, and it's quite a narrow road, and the cars are parked on the pavement, and there's some you can't use the pavement because so many cars parked on the pavement. And I remember that a long time ago, I used to know a gentleman who lived in that road, and he was blind. And we'd pick him up, and my parents would pick him up. He was involved in the church, and when he brought his Bible to church, man, it was like, have you ever seen a Braille Bible? You know, you bring the John's Gospel, and it was like huge in this Braille. But I'm thinking, you know, he would never have negotiated. He lived in that road. He would never have negotiated that road because of all these cars that were parked on the pavement. Well, you know, he was blind, and he loved God, and he got involved in ministry. But he couldn't see with his natural eyes. And, you know, we know a God who can open blind eyes. Signs and wonders were done through the apostles in those days. And there was, you know, we see, and it was on the back of them being devoted to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And we've been talking about this last couple of weeks. And if you weren't able to be here the last couple of weeks, or you didn't join us online, you know, go back and you can hear that, and you can hear what we're talking about. See, Jesus did things very intentionally. And here we see these early Christians, they're newly born again. What is, everything is new to them. They had some background of worship. There's some background of the things of the scriptures. They didn't have what we have, and it was all totally new to them. And so because it was totally new to them, and they had this transformation in their life where they got born again because they were cut to the heart, they'd repented, given their lives over to Christ, had been baptized, and so they were these new beings, they were these new people, these they were now alive in Christ. But they positioned themselves in a place to grow. They positioned themselves in a place for their spiritual life to increase. And one of the things we see them doing is putting their total faith in Jesus. And in doing it, the way they did it was they were intentional in doing it. And I believe we need to look at their lives sometimes and say, you know, and ask ourselves the question, how intentional are we in growing in our walk with God and being in a better place this week than we were last week, with fresh revelation and fresh understanding? And I love it when I see believers, when I see Christians grow, because what I can see is they're getting it. It becomes revelation to them. When it becomes revelation to us, it changes us. And of course, you have to understand that they were where they were, and we are where we are because Jesus was intentional towards us. He was intentional towards us because God was intentional. You know, what God did and bringing Jesus in, he did for a purpose. And Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was walking this walk on purpose. Because God was a God of purpose. God is very intentional. He spoke things into being. He put people in places intentionally. You know, he does things quite bizarrely in many ways. You know, Acts chapter 9 and verse 16, we get where Moses is speaking to Pharaoh and he's trying to release the people out of Egypt. And he says, But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my people in you. Speaking about how he kept Pharaoh there in power so he could demonstrate his God's power. He had purpose. He spoke the world into being on purpose. You know, Jesus walked this earth on purpose. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 42 and 43, he says, when it was day, he departed and went out into this deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Jesus did things intentionally. Sometimes we don't do things very intentionally. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was walking this earth on purpose. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay off every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. So he was on purpose. He was purposeful in his walk towards the cross. He was purposeful on his journey to the cross. You know, it goes on in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It says, you've not resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. You know, yeah, we're in a different place. But he says, you know, Jesus, he, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He was took that journey on purpose. He was intentional on his journey to the cross because he could see the joy that was set before him. You and I, born again of the Spirit of God, homes in heaven, living lives, being able to live lives of victory. He was intentional in his living. See, don't forget that we live our life intentionally. Your life, my life, is divine, is defined by what I do intentionally. See, we make decisions on what we do. We prioritize. Now, you're here this morning because you prioritize. You intentionally set the time aside to be in the house of God. That's cool. We know the benefits of it. We know the power of it. We know that when we gather together to worship, there's strength and there's power, and we're in warfare. Paul said, don't despise gathering together. Don't neglect it. You know, be a part of it. It's powerful. Do it intentionally. You know, most people, you know, we're living with some sort of goals, aren't we? We have goals in our life. We're looking to achieve some things. We have goals. But for a lot of Christians, for many of us, you know, our walk with Jesus is the most unintentional thing we do. Whatever will be, will be. I've given my life to Christ. I'm born again of the Spirit of God. You know, that I can sit back and enjoy the rest of my life. And don't always put a lot of attention into the intentionality, if that's a word, of building our Christian life, of growing in our walk with God. And when we see the early church experience revival, it wasn't really revival because there's nothing. They were the beginning of it. But they experienced this incredible move of God because they were intentional in how they lived their lives. And we see those four things. We looked at them very briefly last week. We'll look at them a little bit more detail this morning. But they were very intentional in four particular things. The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so everything else we read about the power of God, and I made this statement last week, everything else we read about the power and the glory of the early church, how it flowed from a foundation of word, the word of God. It flowed from a foundation of fellowship, gathering together. That's why it is so beneficial and so important to gather together in coffee number one. It's not just, you know, take the coffee side out of it, take the cake side out of it. My wife says, no. That's all very good. But in that, there's fellowship. You can have fellowship over coffee. You can have fellowship over cake. You can do it. Does a few other things for you as well. But, you know, you can have fellowship just walking down the street with somebody. It's an old-fashioned word, maybe, but it's not an old-fashioned word. It comes from the word koinonia, which is a word which is, I believe fellowship is when you're in fellowship with somebody, when you have some fellowship with someone, there's a flow of life. Yet you struggle having fellowship with somebody who's not a Christian. You can have communication. But when you have fellowship with someone, there's life because the same Spirit is in me that who is in you. And here's something. The Holy Spirit in me will not conflict with the Holy Spirit in Charles. That takes a bit. Because sometimes we... The same Holy Spirit. And when we get in fellowship with each other, there can be this communication of spirit and spirit. It's powerful. Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes we dismiss gathering together. But why dismiss something which God placed and gave us for a purpose? And so the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread, everything else we read about the power and the glory of the early church and they encountered flowed from a foundation of the word, fellowship, remembrance of the cross, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So Jesus was very intentional. His whole life was intentional. So these early disciples, these early Christians, they weren't disciples, they were the Christians. They were just ordinary people who'd heard the gospel. Oh, it's so important that we preach the gospel. It is so important that we preach the gospel. How will they know if they do not hear? See, people are hearing all sorts of things these days. All sorts of things are coming into our hearing, and the people in your street, the people that you work with are hearing all sorts of things. But what is going to give them life is the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God under salvation. So we see that they were intentional about the word of God. They were intentional about the doctrine that the apostles were preaching. They committed themselves, the Bible says, to the apostles' doctrine. They didn't have the Bible that we have. They were, if you like, the Acts of the Apostles. They were it, just working this thing out. The churches weren't yet established, were they? Because Paul hadn't yet written to them. Didn't need to be written to because they weren't established. The church was being formed in that time. But they had to be intentional about getting the word, which is spirit. They had to be intentional about getting the word into their heart and into their mind. And that is nothing different than today. We have to be intentional, I believe, about getting the word into our heart and into our mind. Remember what Joshua was told by God when he was going into the promised land, crossing over the river Jordan. He's one side of the Jordan in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He's talking about being bold and be courageous, being bold and be courageous, be bold and be very courageous. You know, you're traveling a distance, a journey you've never traveled before. Be bold and be courageous. It says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? We want to be prosperous. We want to have good success. And yet we fill our mind, which then comes out of our mouth, because we meditate on all sorts of other things. Well, that's Old Testament. But it's the Word. It's the book. It's the Word. It says, do not let this book of the law, this which you have, you know, take the Word of God, don't let it depart from your mouth. Keep it in your mouth. We need to be able to be a people who are intentional about getting the Word in us so that the Word comes out of us. I'm not going to ask you this, but I should be able to point any person who's born again of the Spirit of God and be able to say, what's the Lord saying to you? I'm almost getting the spirit of climbing on chairs coming on. But you see, most Christians, it's not a criticism at all, would flounder. If I said, just come on, give you the mic, what's the word? What's the Lord saying to you? And one of the reasons is because we don't have this. The book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may have, that you may observe to do according. Sorry, misquoted it just now. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You see, we should be intentional. God is speaking to these people. He's speaking to Joshua, to the people through Joshua, who are about to embark on a journey they've never been on before. The fulfillment of a promise of God. Some of those have been waiting a lifetime. They were looking forward to getting some new shoes. You know, my summer wardrobe, not my last 40-year wardrobe. And I believe that the amount of word in you will determine the sort of people you have in your life. Because you don't get along with somebody just because they're a Christian. Because you may know a Christian you don't get along very well with. But when you've got the word in your life, you get along, iron sharpens on, you get along with people who've got word in their life, the word in their life. You imagine if you went out with a group of people, maybe they can all be Christians. But the conversation goes one way. And you, because you've got the word in your life, may get a witness on your spirit that says, well, that ain't right. And you'll either go along with that or you will maybe challenge. See, when you're intentional, you get the word of God in your life. The word will be in you, and you'll get around people who've got that word in you, and there'll be iron will sharpen iron, and growth and expansion, and the Lord is saying this, and the Lord is saying that, and I feel this, and I feel that, I sense this, because why, the word is in you. But see, they were intentional about the word being in them. They committed themselves. They remained steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And then they were intentional about fellowship. It wasn't just getting together. You know what Suzanne was talking to you ladies about this morning was intentional. There's a purpose in it. It's not just a coffee and cake. That just comes with it, doesn't it? But to gather together to pray because the Holy Spirit has said something, and so something is put in place intentionally. It's not just to fill a program. It's not difficult to fill a program. You know, sometimes churches have stayed in places where you ask, well, why are you doing that? Well, we don't know. Well, it's not intentional, is it? It's just filling a program. Why do you do things this way? Why do you do things that way? Why is this there and why is that there? Well, we don't know. It may have been intentional once. You may have not noticed, but birds of a feather flock together. Don't they? People generally hang around with the same type of people who have similar thinking, who have similar views. You sometimes see people gathering in groups, and they're like, I can't see, you know, they've got nothing in common. Well, yes, there's something in common somewhere. There's something in common somewhere. There's something that attracts. And so we have to be intentional in who we have fellowship with, because fellowship is powerful. You become like who you spend time with. Because things rub off, don't they? So if you want to build yourself in the things of the Word of God, get around somebody who knows the Word of God. And so those early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They got around other people who were intentional about getting the Word into them. So when you have a fellowship, you have fellowship with people who other people who want to get the word into them. Other people who are keen to pray and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and get a glimpse of something which was written maybe 30 years ago in some notes that changed someone's life, that brought a revelation. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" I commend and I honor some of you people in here. I know there's girls in here who've got unsaved husbands and husbands who've got unsaved wives and that, and you're in a situation where the Lord has quickened your spirit when you've been married, and you're an example to your family. You're an example to your family. Sometimes you wonder, how can I do that? How hard is it? I'm always reminded of the situation that Joseph found himself in, how his household was blessed. Why? Because of Joseph was in there. But the Bible says, don't when you have opportunity, don't go hanging with people who don't believe what you believe. Because, you can waste your time hanging with people. Sometimes we take that usually as just, non-Christians and Christians. But, you can yoke yourself with somebody who's a Christian but don't believe what you believe. And it can mess up your thinking and mess up the revelation that you have and cause all sorts of things. To hang around fellowship with people of like mind. Verse 16 of Second Corinthians in verse chapter 6 is, remember, you are the temple of God. You're not just anybody. You are the temple of God. And so we can end up becoming like the people we hang around, if we hang around with the wrong people and allow them to influence our lives. Solomon had quite a lot of wives, didn't he? Like hundreds of them. And he married women from places that God has said don't marry women from. And in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4 says, "For so when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as the heart of his father David was." Well, because he allowed that influence, and he allowed that influence because he made the wrong choices in his relationships. I tell you, relationships are powerful. So he had intimate relationship with people that God has said you shouldn't. They're not going to do anything for you. To the early church, fellowship with those who had like minds. They'd experienced the same outpouring of power. They'd heard the same gospel. And they were intentional about hanging around together. And we need to build on this. We thank God for what he has done. We've seen him do what he did here. We've seen what he did there. We've seen what he's done in your life. How has he changed that? How has that been relevant to you? Yeah, and there's such power in it. They could see the value in sharing their hearts and their lives and being open with each other. And so because they could see the value in it, they were intentional about prioritizing their time and their fellowship. And fellowship, it says, it's not an old-fashioned word. We probably don't use it enough today because maybe it's been overused and we don't have a full understanding of it. Sometimes I used to sort of think of fellowship as being sort of cozy and just sort of gossipy and just sort of going on quiet, you, me, and us few. But it's powerful. Changes lives. It builds into our lives. It strengthens us. Fellowship is not just part of a program. Because when you're intentional about the word and you're intentional about fellowship, iron will sharpen iron. And you have the ingredients for a move of God. Be sure to intentionally, be intentional about getting around people who will sharpen you, who will speak you up, who will, just iron sharpens iron. Recognize you don't know everything. And with this iron sharpening an iron, and these people, as they grew together and as they were flowing together, there was this move of God. See, when you get together with people who are intentional about the word of God, you will have righteous fellowship. If you're not intentional about the word of God and you've got some mixed up views and some mixed up understanding, and it's not, that fellowship can become something other than fellowship, just a friendship or just a waste of time. One of the things lockdown did was removed a lot of fellowship. And we were encouraged to self-isolate. Now, isolation, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, there's a man who isolates himself, casts off all wise judgments. We were encouraged to self-isolate, were forced to self-isolate, and then encouraged to bubble. Yeah. You couldn't fellowship, but you could bubble. A bubble will become stifling and stagnant. Halfway through one of the lockdown series of things, I think it was, I don't know where it was in the scale of 25th of March 2000 to now, Suzanne and I visited somebody, and they said, "Well, these people were our bubble." We looked at each other and thought, "Man alive, no wonder you're like you are. If you bubble with those sort of people." You have to become intentional about who you fellowship with. Choose your friends wisely. Be intentional about who you open your heart to. Have you opened your heart to somebody, and then you've realized that was not a good idea? Strong fellowship relationships are so important. And here's where the early church grew, because they recognized that. And when you fellowship with somebody who's like mine, who understands the word of God, you grow in your walk with God. And this young church was becoming so strong. And then thirdly, we see how there was a breaking of bread. They were intentional about remembering what Christ had done on the cross. Remember, they were building an ongoing foundation for an ongoing move of God and continuing revival. This was the ingredients that grew the church. They were remembering what Christ had done for them, what he did on the cross, that great exchange that took place. Breaking bread, communion, is more than a ritual. It's bringing to your remembrance that powerful exchange. And I believe it's important that we do that. We do that regularly. We do it in church on a regular basis. It's important that you do it maybe in your own homes and just on a regular time. You remember, you take that time out to take the juice and the bread or the wafer or however it is you do it, and remember that great exchange that took place, how God brought you from one place to where you are now. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes it's easy to get complacent in our walk with God. Do things that are just rituals, but they were remembering. Can you imagine when they're having a time of fellowship and breaking bread, and looking at each other and just pinching themselves, like, "So are we really here? Did Christ really do this for us? Did he really shed his blood for us, make that sacrifice? Did he really forgive us of our past and put us on this totally new journey?" And Paul, as we go through the days of the early churches, and how he was continually reminding them, and had to remind them in Corinthians, and come on, remember the importance of it, and don't take it for granted, don't abuse it. And then the prayers. They committed themselves. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were intentional about getting the word into them. Just like God had instructed Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. But you may meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written within it. And then you will prosper, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. They were intentional about it. And they were intentional about fellowship. They were intentional about breaking bread together. It wasn't just something, it's Sunday, we've got to go to church, and maybe we'll do communion on that Sunday, and I'll feel better for it. No, they were intentional about it. They treated it with great reverence. And that was because they had an understanding of it. You know, sometimes we just take one of the little boys came to me just a few months ago and said, I want to take communion next time you take communion. And I understand what it means. I understand what it means. Not just we bring our children up because they see us doing it, but they understood what it means. And then the prayers, they did more than just remember to pray when they needed to pray or when they had a need. Oh, yes, the early church. They committed to the doctrine. They fellowshiped together. They hung around together. They took communion together. And they prayed. No, they came to the prayer. They took that time out. They did more than just remember to pray when they had a need. They devoted themselves to the prayers. The RSV translation says they devoted themselves to the prayers, which was a corporate gathering of people coming together to worship. Well, I pray every now and again. I pray when I've got a need. I pray just before I put my head down when I go to bed. That's all good and that's all important. We do that. But gathering together. Sometimes the church prayer meeting right across the world is the least intentional part of somebody's Christian life. Oh, well, that's just a prayer meeting. Just a prayer meeting? Just a prayer meeting? They were intentional about taking the time out. They were intentional about gathering together for worship and for prayer. As I said right at the beginning, sometimes our Christian life as a believer is the least intentional part of our life. We will be intentional about so many other things, so many other parts of our life. But it's almost like because our Christian walk is something which we can't see physically, it's something which doesn't pay our bills, it's something which doesn't give us this and doesn't give us that, it's something which doesn't get us from A to B or whatever. It has little attention while we're Christians, and that's it. I've done that bit. I've ticked this bit off the list of the things I do before I die or whatever it is. We got my home in heaven. And we forget that as we live out our Christian life, as we live our walk with Jesus, if we're going to grow in our walk with God, we have to be intentional about some of the things or the things that God has put in place for us and made available for us to grow into who He has called us to be. They were intentional about growing in their faith, you see. And in growing in their faith, they facilitated a move of God that was so powerful that it started to change their world. See, so often our world doesn't look too much different to what it looked before. And we live in days when the church is under such attack. We live in days when the beliefs of the Word of God are under such attack. There's certain things that, you know, we would get ourselves and can get ourselves into trouble for when we start preaching the Bible. Because some people think it's not all embracing for everybody wherever. It is all embracing to those who are cut to the heart. So for many Christians today, walking in the Spirit is the least intentional thing they do. Well, see, if you're filled with the Spirit, which we are, then walk in the Spirit. You know, how many of you go out for a walk? Intentionally. And you're so intentional, out comes your phone. Click on the app. Map my spiritual walk. Yeah, you map my walk, map my ride, map my swim. I did it on Map My Mow the Lawn the other day. I couldn't find one, so I had to do Map My Walk. I think I walked, it was something like 2 kilometers or something. The lines are a bit. But you said we get so intentional about everything else we do. And yet sometimes we're not intentional about our walk with God. There's a lot of Christians who are not intentional about being in the house of God. And for some reason they don't consider it worth being intentional about. I don't quite get it. We don't find it quite intentional. It's not worth being intentional about. So we put other things that we are more intentional about in its place. But if we're filled with the Spirit, then let's walk in the Spirit. Now we can become intentional about everything else. But our walk with God and our growth as a Christian, we pay zero attention to. Church, I believe when we get intentional about our walk with God, we'll see some of the promises of God come to place in our lives. I sense the power of God here this morning. And that is because we come into church with the intention of worshiping Jesus. We come in with the intention of getting the word into us. We come in with the intention because we know the value of being together and remembering what Christ has done for us. And as we see the early church grew from that place, a move of God, expansion of the kingdom, the world getting to know the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything changed. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, I encourage you, if you're joining us online, I encourage you, wherever you are, to be intentional about walking in the Spirit. Because when we're intentional, we start seeing the power of God manifest in our lives. We see how, in the next verses, it says, and many wonders and signs were done through the work and the hands of the apostles. If you're here this morning, you need to know that we live in the days when signs and wonders are able to take place. I believe they take place around people who are intentional about their walk with Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have put your Spirit within us. We thank you that we are born again of the Spirit of God. We thank you that everything we have available to us for us to grow in our walk with God. Father, I pray, as your Holy Spirit just ministers to us in these moments, that you reveal areas in our lives where we can be more intentional in our walk with you. Let's stand on our feet this morning. I know we've gone a little bit over time today. Just appreciate your patience. The Bible says signs follow the preaching of the word. Why? Because that builds faith in us. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're here this morning, you sense God is speaking to you and working. I believe God is speaking to all of us today. You came to church with the intention of building your life with Jesus. There's so many other things you could be doing. But we came intentionally, knowing that God would, His presence would fill this place. I don't embarrass anyone.